So today's word of God comes from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. So you may be familiar with this, a very famous chapter. Sorry, I seem to be having trouble connecting back to my keynote there. Oh, there we go. If you're able, please rise for the reading of God's word. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so all the fish as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Again, happy Father's Day. I hope that you guys have something planned with your fathers or with your family. To celebrate Father's Day properly, here's a little dad joke I wanted to tell you guys. So this actually happened. So one day, Joshua was, we were all together, and then Joshua was complaining that he was cold. The rest of us are kind of like, warm, but he was complaining that he was cold. So I told him, as a joke, right, go stand in the corner. And he asked me why. I said, because it's 90 degrees there. Then he started to cry. Okay? Now, I felt bad. I was like, what did I do wrong? So I asked him why he was crying, and he said, that's too hot. So apparently he had the better joke. Now some of us here have fathers to celebrate this day with, and some of us have become fathers, and some of us have fathers in heaven, and some of us even have, maybe not so good relationship with our fathers. Whatever the case, fathers play an important role, not just in family, but in society as well. As a father, I feel that my job in this family is to provide, to protect, to train and discipline, and be that person who doesn't panic when things start to go south, right? When everyone else is panicking, I need to remain calm. Of course, this is the conventional role of a father, and things will be different from family to family, but generally, that's what fathers do. The importance of dads cannot be overstated, and of course, we have Mother's Day, and mothers are crucial in families. Of course, right? It goes without saying. But the absence of a father can be seen in societies. Right? This is also the reason why widows and the fatherless, the orphans, are mentioned so often in the Bible. Families without a father generally face economical challenges, emotional challenges in the children, and especially signs of aggression, delinquency, and low self-esteem. And educational and social development are challenged also. Knowing this, some people like Rob Kenny, the internet dad that we talked about before, stepped up to help those who grew up without a dad, right? For he also grew up without a dad. The world needs good fathers, right? For all the fathers here, I want to say that your work, your presence makes a big difference. Now, I also lost my dad when I was 18, and just when I became an adult, I lost an adult male figure to look up to ask questions and to ask counsel. It certainly wasn't easy growing up without a dad, but I was blessed to discover God as a father to the fatherless. I got to experience God as a good father, and today I want to show you that our God is the good father through Jesus. Now, this can sound a little confusing because we know that there's God the Father and God the Son, right? And I'm saying that Jesus is the good father, right? But remember that Jesus is God in human flesh. So what we see and learn through Jesus is who God is. So I will show Jesus' father-like character, which in turn shows us God's father-like character also. So when I say that Jesus is a good father, I'm saying that God is a good father and vice versa. Now, in this passage, we have the famous feeding of 5,000. Or we saw this during Lent to show Jesus as the bread of life. Today, we can see God's father-like character through Jesus in this story. And that's what we'll focus on. And to the fathers, I want to say one more thing. It's not easy being a dad, right? And really for all parents and for future parents, this applies to you as well. We have to provide for our families, protect them, keep it together when things go south. But there are times when we can't or find it difficult to keep it going. There are times when we, as parents, as fathers, want to be protected. We want someone else to reassure us that it's going to be okay. We want to be provided for as well. Right? There are restless nights when you worry about your finances and the future of your family. When your little one gets sick and has a high fever and there's nothing that you yourself can do. Or when you get that sick feeling in the stomach, really realizing that something's happened to your child when they go out and don't come back. Who's going to reassure you that it will be okay? Good news is that we have a father who can do that for us. And through Jesus, we will see that father-like character of God. So as a good father, I want to say that Jesus cares for his children, that Jesus trains his children, and that Jesus sacrifices for his children. He cares for his children, he trains his children, and he sacrifices for his children. As the generations changed, our image of a father seemed to change as well. For the previous generation, The stereotypical father is this father who's distant, who's reserved, right? The one who doesn't really show much emotion or affection, even when they're proud, right? They just try to keep it down a little. They hardly say, I love you, but they show it through their devotion and provision. Now, the current generation's father who grew up with that kind of dad decided to show more affection, be more expressive, and that's why we have dads who say, I love you a lot, who hug their kids a lot more and such. But for either generation, what's true is that they both cared about their children. It's just the way they expressed it that was different. And as a good father, Jesus shows that he cares for his children too. Now, in this part of the story, Jesus is actually trying to spend some time alone with the disciples. Right? You can get a much better sense of this story by looking at all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for this is the only miracle, aside from the resurrection, that's recorded in all four Gospels. So you can find the same story in Matthew chapter 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9. Now, this is immediately after hearing that John the Baptist had been killed by King Herod. And this is also after disciples came back from proclaiming the kingdom of God, healing the sick, and driving out demons. And they're tired from their journey. So Jesus brings them along, right, takes them to a desolate place, meaning there is nothing else around them, so that they can rest together, right? To be alone, to talk, to recuperate, right? Because they were so busy that they didn't even have time to eat properly. So think of it like Jesus' me time with his disciples. Yet, the crowd, after hearing about Jesus healing the sick, followed Jesus all the way out. Right? The Bible says that they took the boat to go across the Sea of Galilee, the big lake there, and the crowd actually walked all the way around. So they traveled far to get to Jesus. And seeing that crowd, right, Jesus has compassion on them. Even though Jesus wanted to rest with the disciples and teach them, he had compassion on all those who came to see him, so he put his own needs aside for a moment to help those who came to him for healing. Because this is his children who's coming to him. And as you know, it was a great crowd. I didn't have the picture here today, but imagine the Rogers Arena full of people. That's about how much people would have come here. It only says that there were 5,000 men, but that's not accounting for the women and the children that came together. They all came so that they could receive healing. But when it was getting late, the disciples told Jesus to send them away to nearby town to get food on their own. But Jesus doesn't send them, right? For some of them had come from very far, and their safety and well-being would be jeopardized on their way home. So, I mean, they would be too hungry and too weak to travel. So what does Jesus do? He feeds them, and he feeds them all abundantly. Now, let's pause here for a second. What can we learn from that short look at the passage? Or we can learn that Jesus has compassion, that he cares. Compassion means to have concern for the suffering or misfortune of others. God is not this far off God who doesn't care about what's happening in our lives, right? He's God in heaven, we're on earth, right? He doesn't care. No, it's not like that. He knows what's going on. He sympathizes with us and cares about us. Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be tired, to be misunderstood, to be betrayed, to be mocked, to be humiliated. He knows. Now, when I talk to my children, for example, there are times when their eyes sparkle and I have their undivided attention, because most of the time it's hard to get their attention, right? It's when I share about times when I made a mistake or when I show that I was just like them when I was young. So when I start telling them about my story when I was younger, right, they listen. Because especially embarrassing stories or stories of me going through some sort of difficulty. They listen because that's when they see and realize that their dad is just like them, right? That he can sympathize with them. And because Jesus can sympathize with us, he knows what we need and knows what's best for us as well. As a church planter, I get to experience this all the time. Right, God knows what this church needs, when it needs it, and he faithfully fills its needs. It's scary at times, of course, but also very exciting. I personally, when I was a poor seminary student a long time ago, or just working part-time, there was a time when my bank account was in the red. I was worried. And I was at a morning prayer service and then was praying to God about my needs when all of a sudden was reminded of this verse. It said, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows all that you need before you ask him." Right, holding on to this promise, right? I got out of that morning prayer with peace and hope. Right? And notice here, right? This is Jesus telling his disciples. He doesn't say, "For my Father knows," although that's true. But he says, "Your Father." Right? He's saying that we can call God our Father, and that Father knows what we need even before we ask. And that week, someone gifted me some money, right? Just out of the blue, and I was able to get by that month. And when God gives us something, right, he's not going to give us something random or something that is detrimental to us. Right, I want you guys to remember this verse also. It comes from us from Luke chapter 11. It says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Right? This is, you know, in Luke, he emphasizes the Holy Spirit, but in other places, he talks about how God gives good gifts. Right? We as fathers, we want to give good things to our children. We want to give what is best to them. And God does too. He's saying that God is better than us. He knows what we need most. He knows what's best for us. And he wants to give that to us. And what we need to do is to trust him. But some people are afraid to trust God with their lives because they're worried that all of a sudden God might send them to Africa as a missionary or something. Right? Isn't that the case for us, some of us? Like, we will go to retreat, and then there's a time when there's an altar call where they're like, you know, who wants to give their lives to God? And they hesitate because, like, okay, what happens if I give my life to God, if I promise right now, and he tells me to go to mission as a missionary to Africa? What will I do, right? Do I give up everything? And that's because you think that God is not going to do whatever he wants with your life. But you see, he will only send you if he thinks that you're a perfect fit. for the job. And he will also give you the heart to go. He's not going to force you to go. He knows what's best for you. He knows the whole situation. Right? Now, what's funny and ironic, though, is that now, right? Now, Africa is sending missionaries back to Europe because there are more Christians in Africa than Europe now, and they want to share the gospel with them. So maybe it is better to go to Africa now. The point is, God knows what's best for you because he cares for you. In fact, that's why in John chapter 6, right, this whole chapter, Jesus not only gives them a meal for their body, but he offers them himself as the bread of life. Fathers, I know that you have a father who cares for you as well. Remember that it's ultimately our Heavenly Father, our Savior and Lord Jesus, who cares for your family. Now, I got to learn this at the deathbed of my dad. By the time he was at the end of his life, the cancer had spread to his brain, so he couldn't really talk, right? And at his final moment, I got to see his pulse on his neck here, right, the artery there, just kind of slowing down, getting weaker and weaker. But the rest of us will call out to him, hoping that he would stay a little longer, and you can see that pulse getting stronger and faster just to hold on. Because he wanted to be with us, to take care of us. But when we finally told him that we'll be fine because God is going to take care of us, he was able to let go and be with God. Ever since then, God has not let our family down. He has kept us safe and fed throughout all these years. And that's how I learned also that it's not me who ultimately takes care of this family. It's God. So I hope that this truth will take some burden off the shoulders of the fathers, for the parents, and for the rest of us as we carry on, knowing that we have a good father who cares for us. Secondly, Jesus trains his children. Now, I saw this one post online where a teenage child, right, teenage son, I can't remember that part, but was getting frustrated at their mom because she was having trouble with her phone, right, not knowing what to do or whatever, right? And the post gently reminded the viewers that if you're like the teenager in this post, then remember that your mom or dad had to teach you how to wipe your own butt. So be patient and be grateful to your parents. It's the job of the parent to help teach essential skills to the children, like tying the shoelace or wiping their butt and so on, right? But especially to train them to trust in God. And that's what infant dedications are about. Now, at Sunflower Church, we don't do infant baptisms, but instead we will hold infant dedication where the parents dedicate the child to God, promising that the parents will raise them in God. Jesus is the ultimate trainer of our faith. What that means is that he will keep on training our faith without ever giving up on us. The author of Hebrews calls Jesus the founder and perfecter of our faith. Founder and perfecter. Isn't that encouraging? Right? How he who begins our faith will make sure that it comes to completion. He will perfect it. He trains us continually until we become more mature. In our story today, we can see Jesus training and testing his disciples and the crowd also. First, he tests his disciples. Let me read from verse 5 here. It says, "Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?' He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?'" Now there's a problem, right? Jesus asked the disciples how they would solve this problem. Philip, who's actually from the area, probably knew the price of food around there so he could calculate how much they would need just to get a bite for each. He says 200 denarii. Right? That would be about 200 days worth of wage. 1 denarii is about a day's worth of wage. So for us, right, considering that the minimum wage is like $20 or so, working 8 hours full-time, that's roughly $36,000. Right? He's saying $36,000 is not enough to feed everyone here. Right? They could get a little bite, but we don't have enough. They will probably need something like, you know, upwards of like $200,000 to feed everyone full with just bread, right? Just one meal. Seems pretty impossible for a group of disciples who left everything behind. And then comes Andrew saying that there's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And I know some people have tried to argue, like, maybe these fishes, you know, the translation, the word for fish is actually whale. And so the boy who brought like 2 whales and they were able to eat, not likely, right? Barley bread, he says. John is the only one who writes that detail. Like, he loves to put details there. He says it's barley because that's the cheapest of bread. And the fish here is probably like pickled fish, like little sardine. So it was a really cheap lunch for a little boy. And he says, but what are they for so many? Like, we have this Jesus, but so what, right? This is not going to solve anything. Maybe you can have it. Maybe you can have some more strength to do something, right? You know, as a dad, sometimes I feel like this too. There's a problem, and I can't figure out a way to fix this. It really feels like I only have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But God will show us a way that we hadn't thought of. Like the story behind the honey for our launch service. Right? God made it so that with the same budget, we were able to have double the portion of honey. This is something I had not thought of at all. Right? That's like, I can't ask him for a discount. Hey, can you give us this much honey, but give us like half discount? It doesn't work that way. But it so happened, right? When I ordered something smaller, they say, hey, we ran out of bottles. Right? We're going to give you something bigger. Right? We gave you double the honey, but the price is the same. Everyone got to enjoy those little honeys at home. Right? This is something I could never think of or do. But oftentimes we try to figure out how to solve problems on our own. We don't count Jesus as one of our answers a lot of the times. We stop at the thought, what are they for so many? Like, I don't see a way out of this, God, right? It's impossible. And remember, this was Jesus testing them, for he already knew what he was going to do. Right? Don't you love that? He already knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what he was going to do in this situation. He knew that there was a problem, but he doesn't panic. He knows what he's going to do. He knows how he's going to solve this. Right? It's the case with when he goes to raise Lazarus as well. He knows that he's going to raise him from the dead. Right? He knows what he's doing. He's sovereign. He's in control. And that gives me hope. Even when I don't know what to do, he knows what he's going to do. As parents, we feel like we need to have all the answers all the time, especially as fathers, right? But what we can do, and probably the best thing that we can do, is to give the situation to God. Trust him and obey what he tells us to do. In this case, it was to hand over the little lunch to Jesus, and the rest is history. Now, how did Jesus train the people? Through this miracle, Jesus fed them only one meal, right? And that's what we have to remember as well, right? This big miracle where everyone ate full and then there was like 12 baskets left over, that was just one meal. But through this special experience, Jesus is teaching them something. He wants them to see who Jesus is and keep on seeking him daily. And that's what he taught the disciples to pray, right? Give us this day our daily bread. We don't say, God, you know, give us what we need for the next year, right? Because knowing who we are, we're probably not going to be asking God for more afterwards. We're not going to seek him. We have what we need, right? He wants to teach them to seek the bread of life daily. Now, as parents, we want our children to become self-sufficient. We can't keep giving them a fish, right, when they're hungry. We want to teach them how to fish. We want to teach them how to be autonomous, to be self-sufficient, to be independent, because we can't be there for them all the time. Jesus is teaching the people to seek after Jesus, to seek after God daily, for he is the true bread of life. Jesus is training both the disciples and the crowd to do the same thing, which is to seek Jesus, for he knows what he would do. For he is sovereign and in control. And that's the kind of father that we have. Today being a family service, I want the kids to know as well. Sometimes we parents will not know what to do. We won't have all the answers. But you have Jesus who knows all things and who can do all things. So learn to trust him starting now, knowing that he is in control. Even when you face problems and you don't know how to solve it, like how to forgive a friend or how to deal with bullies, right? Pray to God first. Ask for help. Ask for wisdom. And when He gives you the heart to do something, even if it may sound ridiculous, like giving a gift to a bully instead or giving a hug to a bully, at first, right, you understand it, but try obeying Him. You will be surprised to see how God is going to lead the situation. To conclude this point, let's read this verse. This comes from James chapter 1, who's actually the brother of Jesus, right? He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Seek His wisdom. Seek His help. He will train us to be perfect, fully mature in Him, just as a father trains a child, because we have a good Father who trains us. Lastly, Jesus sacrifices for His children. Now, there's a movie about a single father going out to find his son. Right? So what happens in this movie is that the son wanted to prove himself, right, and kind of disobeys his father and ends up getting kidnapped and goes all the halfway across the world. So the father leaves his home, leaves his everything to find his son. Right? There are times when his life is in danger. He's risking his life, right? And then finally gets to his son. And in the end, right, the father rescues his son. And the two of them return home with a newly found respect for each other. And all of this happens underwater. What? It's called Finding Nemo. Right, I mean, if you think about it, that's what the story is. A father going out to find his son who's kidnapped. Now, there are many more movies about father and son dynamic. One of the more memorable one for me was is called John Q with Denzel Washington. I don't know if you guys remember that movie. This is when he was still younger. It's about a dad who takes a hospital hostage until his son gets a new heart. Right, his son is playing baseball. All of a sudden, he falls down. Right, his heart has a problem. They need to find a new heart for a heart transplant. And because they're in a poor living situation, they can't get on the donor list. So he holds a whole hospital hostage. Right. Later on, though, he finally figures, you know what? Take my heart, right? Give my heart to my son. I won't spoil it in case you want to go watch it. But you can find this theme of sacrificial love of the father in many movies. Right. This is the heart of the good father that we see in this story as well. Now, although we didn't look at the whole chapter, we can see a repeated phase throughout this chapter. So let me show you from verse 12, which we read, and from verse 36 to 40, which we didn't read. It says, "And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost.'" And going down to verse 36, "But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is a will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now I thought of this, why did Jesus make the disciples gather up all the leftovers? Aside from not letting the food go to waste, it was a sign, right? This is what we have to remember. This is not just a miracle. This is a sign. Jesus is trying to tell people, show people a different reality. Jesus is the bread of life given by God for the many, right? And remember, try to make this connection here. Jesus took the bread, right? He prayed first and then started giving. And it multiplied and multiplied and everyone got to eat it. What's happening here is Jesus is showing us that this is a power of God. This is a gift from God. Every miracle that Jesus does, he doesn't just do it out of his own power. He always prays to Father. He's asking God, the Father, to give this to him. And they eat of it abundantly. And this bread of life is a bread that the Father gave to the people as well. So try to make that connection there, what Jesus is trying to say. Jesus is the bread of life, and this bread that he's given to these people is a metaphor for that. Again, just as how Jesus gathered up 12 baskets so that nothing may be lost, he does not wish anyone that the Father gave him to be lost either. To ensure that no one is lost, Jesus gives his life on the cross so that they are secured. Anyone who believes in him will be secured. It's not the wish of the Father to lose any of his children. And that's why for those who believe in Jesus, those who became his children by his promise, God's grace will carry them through this life. And for those sons who stray away from him, God will seek them out. And that's what movies like Finding Nemo is about and why it comes so close to our hearts. And that's why the story of the prodigal son comes so close to our hearts as well. And in fact, that's the whole story of the Bible. God seeking out his children to bring them back. So let me read you from John chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is Jesus, the good Father, for he has God himself come as a human being. Because he cared for us, because he loved us, because he came to this earth, right? And because he wanted to train us to be mature in faith, he came to this earth to show us how to live. And because he did not want to lose us to sin and death, he came to give his life as a ransom for many so that none of his children may be lost. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. We could be thinking, how is God ever going to save us when we keep on sinning, when we keep on falling, right? Not wanting to obey his commands, but live according to our own will at times. How is it ever going to be possible? Again, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He already knew that we will be like this. He didn't panic. He knew exactly what to do. He knew that he would go to the cross so that we could be saved. Because he knew that we could not keep the law, he was going to keep it for us. No one thought that that was the solution, which is why people couldn't believe that the Messiah would die on the cross. So dear friends and dear fathers, this is our God. This is the good Father. He cares. He makes sure that we grow in faith. He makes sure that none of us are lost. Even when we don't have everything together, he is always in control. You have the good Father with you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for being our Father, Lord God, not just Jesus' Father, but our Father, for we are able to come before you. Just like how a little children can just come up to Daddy, we can come to you asking for help, asking for love, asking for encouragement, because you're God who cares and sympathizes with us. So during this Father's Day, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us with these truths that you have revealed through Jesus Christ, and especially for fathers who feel like sometimes they need to keep everything together. Give us the relief that they need, Lord, knowing that you are the God, you are Father to them, and that you want to take care of them as your children. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.